That hymn is it's an old one, but it's a prelude, so to speak, to the message this Sabbath entitled Abba, Father, Enjoying Intimacy with God. As we read in the scriptures earlier, one from Proverbs chapter 3, and another from Matthew chapter 7, centering on that thought about God as Father. And yes, this is a sort of an opportunity, sort of the almost a given that we're going to be talking about the Father during the time in which we celebrate fathers. For Father's Day. But I want us to really have a sense the way in which God has positioned himself. Because he could have presented himself in any way that he wanted. I mean, he's the creator. And going back from the very beginning in which he presents himself as provider, as the giver, sustainer, as the comforter, it is very easy to see the Father heart of God. From the scriptures, I want to be using various scriptures to illustrate this. Beginning in the Psalms, Psalm 62, it speaks of God as our rock and our salvation. Psalm 62, the first two verses. For God alone my soul waits in silence. From him comes my salvation. He only is my rock and my salvation, my fortress. I shall not be greatly shaken. Yes, God is our salvation. He is our rock. And you can picture a rock. Many people picture something they can hold in their hands. But the rock that's being described here is big enough to be a fortress. A rock you can hold in your hand has no protection for you. Maybe you can throw it, but that's about it. But the fortress is something you can hide in, is that which is your salvation. God, our Father, he is our rock and our salvation. Psalm 68, some more words from the psalmist. And this is a psalm of David. In verse 5 of Psalm 68, Father, he is Father of the fatherless and protector of widows, is God in his holy habitation. He is the Father even to the fatherless. Not just those who claim him. Oh yes, God is our God. He is our Father. But even to the orphans and the widows, God presents himself as Father. He is protector. Psalm 85 and verse 15. God presents himself as merciful and gracious, loving and slow to anger. Psalm 85, verse 15. Psalm 86. But you, O Lord, are a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness. That is a description of who God is. Psalm 103, verse 13. The Psalms are full of this type of expression about God. Verse 13, as a father shows compassion to his children, so the Lord shows compassion to those who fear him. The fear of the Lord, we understand as the beginning of wisdom, but we also know that those who fear him have the protection and the presence of God. And they have the fatherliness of God. Jeremiah chapter 31 and verse 9. We hear of God again as provider. Jeremiah 31 and verse 9. And the prophet says, "With weeping they shall come, and with pleas for mercy I will lead them back. I will make them walk by brooks of water in a straight path in which they shall not stumble. For I am a father to Israel, and Ephraim is my firstborn." In Luke chapter 11, going to the New Testament, Luke, the Gospel of Luke chapter 11, we see where God is a generous God. Reading from verse 11 through 13. "What father among you, if his son asks for a fish, will instead of a fish give him a serpent? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give you the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" Now, this is similar to the passage that was read earlier in Matthew chapter 7, that portion of the Sermon on the Mount. It was Jesus declares that you're to ask, ask and you'll receive. And there's very similar words, but we'll notice that in verse 13, Luke, instead of saying that the Heavenly Father will give you good things, he gives a specific good thing, and he says to give you the Holy Spirit to those who ask him. And if you consider who the Holy Spirit is, it is the best. It's not a thing, it's a person. That the Heavenly Father desires to give to us his presence as part of the triune God in the Holy Spirit in us for those who ask him. I think that's a very important thing to remember, that we're to ask and we're to receive. And God is faithful to give, and he gives that generously. But we understand that before we can enjoy this type of intimacy, before we can enjoy this relationship, there's one thing that is required. And that is that we realize that we have it. And that's kind of so obvious that it's overlooked. But the reason I'm saying this is because there are those who have an understanding of their salvation, that yes, God is our rock and such. However, they're not dwelling, they're not living as if God were near. They're living as if God is far off. But may we come to understand that this intimacy with the Father is for those who are redeemed. And if you are hearing this, and you are among the redeemed, this intimacy with the Father is yours. God is far off. God is near. In fact, he is so near, he dwells. The obvious question. There may be times in your life in which, such as Alfred, and there was a time in which I was closer to God. There were times in which I felt I was strayed from the Lord. And there is that sense that, yes, we can sort of separate ourselves. The truth is that we have, for various reasons, the Father is still there because that is who he is. We have this idea, well, I have to straighten my life out before I can get back into this. I've heard people even tell me, well, you know, I'll get back into church, straighten out my life. Not the what God is calling us to. You see, we don't straighten out our life. We yield to the one who can straighten it for us. That is entering into intimacy with the Father. You know that you can come as you are, in whatever state you are. It's just a matter of saying, yes, Lord. It's just a matter of understanding, Lord, you already have a relationship for me. I don't have to make one. You already have established through your Son, you have paid the price, you have made atonement for me. There is nothing that I can do. And because I belong to you, you have given me this relationship. And Lord, I yield to you. So for anyone who's hearing this message, anyone who is understanding what I'm saying, and you have a sense that God is far off, come near to the Lord. Come near to God. Yield to him. He's already there. The Father heart of God desires that you draw near to him and don't be afraid. May we not be like those who seek the Lord because of the blessings that God has. I hope you understand what I mean. We saw some of these people in Jesus' day when he was performing miracles, and especially with the bread and the fishes. And Jesus even confronted them in one occasion. They were looking for him. And Jesus says, "You seek me because of the bread and the fish." May we not be like those people. May you're seeking after God not because you're in trouble or because there's some problem that you want God to fix. May it not be only that, but may you seek God to find the heart of God. It used to be rather popular in the 60s and the 70s era to use the term, "I'm looking for myself." I'm seeking, going out into the world to find myself, to find out who I am. What they meant was to sort of have a sense of purpose in their life. For some, that included religious activities. According to the Word of God, no one seeks God. So in spite of the fact that they might have been looking in religion, they were not seeking God. However, for many gospel, and they've come to, brought to Jesus, then they began to understand who they were. And that is one of the, you might say, of having intimacy with the Father, is that your life hope is surrounded by and protected by the love and the strength of intimacy with the Father. You realize that life is not about you. It becomes the center of all things. And that's where you live. You have the blessing of knowing that God is your provider. Matthew 6:33, fully with food and clothes and shelter, is not a worry. And it's not to mean that you just lay back and say, "Well, Lord, you're going to." It's a lack of anxiety in receiving these things. Why? Because God is our Father and he is our Father. Because God is provider as Father and protector and deliverer and all of these things, and he is our Father. He is Abba. May our hearts desire to draw near to God. Not so much from the blessings he can give us, but because he's wonderful. He is awesome. He is attractive because we adore him. May our relationship with one another reflect that God loves you and he loves me. And we're in this together. We're part of this family. Yes, I know that sometimes within Christianity, there's a tendency to make it an emotional-based thing. You know? There are people that, it's almost like they thrive on that. Well, I like this church because it makes me feel good. Not that that's bad, but if that's the criteria, that's a problem. Because God is not, you know, just about emotion. God is about everything. But it is good. How good and pleasant it is. You know, the psalmist says. The saints dwell together in unity. There's a power there. It's wonderful. And even when conflicts come, even when issues arise, because of the Father, because of the union we have, things are resolved. Things are addressed. There is not a fear of talking and getting things straight. There's a difference there. So in the relationship of the Father, it is not just an individual thing. It is a family thing. So when we say, Father, and you might recall that Jesus, more often than not, more often than any other time, any other phrase, he said, Our Father. This is how you're to pray, Our Father. It's a very inclusive, it is Our Father. We in our culture, we have a tendency to become very individual. We make it very private. Our faith is private, you know. Things about our life are very private. And even God is private. Though this is my God. You know, we understand that Jesus says, this is not about you. This is about us. When I come and dwell with you, it is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We're all coming in. And you need to understand that it is my requirement that you have love for our family, all of us. The flesh doesn't deal too well with that. But God's not interested in feeding the flesh. He's interested in feeding your spirit. Abba, Father. Abba, from the Aramaic, means daddy. It's a term of endearment. It's a term of closeness. May we enjoy the relationship we have been given through Christ and with hearts full of thanksgiving and gratitude that all of us together would cry, Abba, Father. Thank you, Daddy. May we understand that life has tough points, but God is tougher still. Life has problems, but the focus of our life is not on problems. It's on our provider, our protector, our rock, our fortress. It's on the compassionate Father. And because he's compassionate, we can be compassionate. Because God is fearless, we can be fearless. The main point of this message is encouraging in the intimacy with God, God the Father. May we all cry, Abba, Father, to his praise and to our enjoyment. Amen. Our closing hymn is number 635 in our hymn books. Yeah.